Hudson on Cape Talk. Cape Talk, your number one news and talk station.
A little after 20 to 3, and we started the show with very sad musical news around the death of Tom Petty yesterday. A huge loss, and particularly for those of my generation who grew up with that music. Many of you sharing similar sentiments on the SMS line. And please stay tuned for John's show this afternoon, because he is going to be chatting to the music guru, Sean Brokenshaw, about the legacy of Tom Petty. But onto some very much happier musical news. If you're a fan of the British indie band Bastille, then you don't need me to tell you that they're playing a big concert in Cape Town tomorrow. I hope to goodness that you've already bought your tickets. If you haven't, wake up, please. You've only got one day left, and there are just a handful left if you're still planning to snag a few. So please get moving now. We to say that there was a little wave of excitement in the building when we let people know that Bastille were coming into studio is the understatement of the year. And Dan and Woody, I hope that you still have all the pieces of your hair and clothing intact after coming up the stairs. But it's really exciting to have you with us. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having us.
It's nice to come back. Thank you.
So Dan Smith is the frontman of Bastille, the drummer Chris Wood, otherwise known as Woody, with us in studio today. Of course, it's welcome to Cape Talk, but it's welcome back to Cape Town, because you guys were here 2014.
Yeah, we were. And a lot of my family live here as well, so it's nice to come and visit them.
Because I know we're far away from the rest of the world. It's quite often difficult to convince bands to put us on a tour menu because of the distance getting here, but you've got a good excuse to come back then.
Yeah, totally. I mean, when we came here a few years ago, I'd only ever been here as a kid to see my family and hang out with like lots of family and friends, and so it's quite strange coming as part of a band and playing. We played a couple of shows at Kirsten Bosch Gardens, and it was really fun, but a little bit overwhelming. Just a slightly different way to visit.
Yeah. I also think Dan's mum's got to get like a guest list of about 400 at the minute. So yeah, popular lady.
Few tickets left to sell, and the rest are all for family and friends. Right. So, yeah. Now you're here touring the second studio album, Wild World. Woody, talk to us about making that album. What are the highlights that stand out for you in the process?
We've been living with it for about a year or so now. I think it's a progression from the first album. We're incredibly proud of it. There's obviously sonically a lot of changes in it, in terms of we've started using guitars and slightly darker sounds, and just a kind of out and out sort of pop elements to it as well. But I think lyrically, I'm sort of kind of speaking on Dan's behalf here, but whereas the first album was more about growing up, the second one is more about kind of looking at and dealing with the world around you at present, which is turning into quite a wild world, pardon the pun.
The difference as well, like making it, was with our first record, I think, and it's such a cliche to say it, but you have your whole life to make your first record and then like not that to make your second. And it was interesting for us. The first album was quite a bit of a bedroom album. We made it with our friend Mark, and then when it came to making the second one, obviously the parameters were slightly different, but
it was our job then. For the first album, we were doing it in between our day jobs,
but and we did it in evenings and on my laptop in my bedroom. It was kind of a really very humble beginnings, and we didn't want to change that with the second record. A lot of people kind of asked us why we didn't go and work with a big producer, and it's like, well, Mark, who produces our stuff, is a massive part of our band. And I guess the big change was that rather than doing it on a laptop in my bedroom in London, it was like on the tour bus and in like hotel rooms. And we were so lucky with the first record to get to travel, to get to come to South Africa, to get to go to South America and all parts of Asia and America. And I guess it just meant that the setting for the laptop and little mic
moved around.
It was a little bit more portable than the first time around.
It's quite weird staying in a hotel with Dan as well, because you always know which room he's in at all times, because you just hear this wailing coming from some corner of the hotel.
Work it into the sound.
It's so embarrassing. Like you forget when there's four walls around you and you're just trying to like record some vocals that obviously they're not soundproof. Shut up.
Exactly. Oh, come on, the people in the room next door got twice as much for their money as they figured on when they booked that room.
I don't know, we're hoping for some sleep.
Yeah, right.
Apart from that. We've got a few fans asking questions on our SMS line. I should just say, now's your chance. If you are a huge fan and you want to say hello to Bastille and you want to ask them something, please, we've got Dan and Woody here. Take advantage, pick up your phone and give me a call on 021-446-0567. Or you can do what an anonymous person has done on the SMS line. 31567 is the number. They want to know, is it true that somebody from the South African band Bed on Bricks is related to you and actually got you into music, Dan?
Yes, my cousin Dave is an amazing guitarist, and when I was a kid, I came to South Africa and went to a lot of their shows. I was like a very big fan, still am. I love that band, and actually they played with us last time we were here. They supported us on at the shows, and it was kind of a mad inversion for me of this, like, my big cousin who's in this big rock band in South Africa, to suddenly, you know, have them playing with us was very surreal and really, really awesome.
Okay.
So, yeah. No, it was like, you know, when I was a kid, he was like my like rock star idol older cousin. And so, yeah, had a massive part of encouraging me. And that whole side of my family are really musical and always were very, like, positive and encouraging. And like collaborative, so that's, I guess, had a big effect on
I love the idea of the turning the tables, that you went from watching him perform to now he sits there watching you with this international smash success.
Well, his, like, some of their shows, the Bed on Brick shows, were some of the first gigs I ever went to, and, you know, so it was massively influential to me. So I'm very odd to suddenly have them playing before us. I was like, this is wrong, this is totally wrong.
You've got, I know, Matthew Moles, one of your support acts this time around. We chatted to him a couple of weeks ago in studio. I think Monarch are supporting with you as well. What's involved in the process of choosing a support act for a gig? I mean, you come in here a little bit, I mean, you don't know our local music scene that well, I assume. Do they come and audition for you? How do you actually figure it out?
No, absolutely. I think we just want to put together, like with the show tomorrow and the rest of the South African shows, we just want to put together a show that people will be excited by and that people want to, you know. I guess we've had a kind of history of bringing in acts and bands that people maybe would expect, maybe wouldn't expect. And I think, you know, it's just a nice opportunity to play on the stage with other people that you admire, but mainly it's, you know, people come to a gig to have a good time, and you want to put on as exciting a kind of evening or afternoon or whatever as you possibly can.
But also, I guess, in terms of quite often with the UK European ones, we try and bring acts that who we want to, like, who we're big fans of, also want to champion, that people might not have heard of. So like Rationale in the UK at the minute, he's blowing up, he's doing really well. Rag and Bone Man as well, even a few years ago. Yeah. He was open for us, now to see how far he's come is insane.
Yeah. But obviously with Matthew Merrill, it's just nice to play again with him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I know he's really looking forward to it too. So you've got Matthew Moll opposite the other, Monarch and Trezor scattered across the concerts, because of course it's not only Cape Town, you're heading up to Durban and Joburg as well,
yes.
I think. Yeah. Another SMA is asking if you actually wrote any of the material for this album while you were here in South Africa in 2014.
Oh, that's a good question. Potentially, the first song that we did for the album was called Blame, and that was like, that came really, really early on.
Yeah.
And I think that may have been part of the process. Sometimes our process is quite sort of gradual. Like sometimes an idea will form, and then, like, you know, we'll travel a little bit and work on it, and some of the songs come together in like a day, and other ones take a long time. I remember there's a song called Lesser of Two Evils on the record that was like there was a backstage room in Germany, and we literally did it in about half an hour.
Wow.
I mean, it sounds like it's just guitar and vocals, but but there are others, you know, like a song like Blame that came, you know, almost on the heels of the first album being released, and I think at that time, and then just grew and developed over a period of time, I guess.
I think, I mean, was Leonard Cohen, who spent 10 years working on Hallelujah before he was finally happy with it?
I mean, it's got, it's obviously an incredible song, but it's got enough verses.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there is that.
I can imagine.
Now, speaking of the songs on the new album, fans coming to the concert, will they hear a mix of the old and the new, we assume?
Yeah, we've always, you know, we've always tried to put out quite a lot of music, and you know, we've made three mixtapes and two albums, and, well, two and a half albums, I guess. And I think we want our show to be like a reflection of that. We put a lot of work into this tour for this record. I think we had a lot of ideas in making the album about kind of wanting it to be a kind of fun, interesting experience, but also reflect the world as it is at the moment, which is, you know, often quite a mad place. And so the show, I think, really reflects that. And we put together quite a sort of audio-visual thing. We basically shot video stuff for the entire gig. It's been really fun kind of expanding beyond playing in pubs into these slightly bigger venues and thinking about the whole experience. It's a big, big mix of, like, I think people will hear, if they like our music, they'll hear what they want to hear.
Yeah.
it's like there's a lot of our first record, a lot of our second, and bits and bobs from the mixtapes as well.
Okay.
Hopefully it's fun.
We've got one of those fans on the line right now who wants to say hello. I think Julie and Constantia, I think she's got a question about the song lyrics. Julie, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm a huge fan of you guys.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much.
I would like to know, you have quite a few quotes in your new album, and I would like to know what the meaning is, like why you put the quotes in, what do you want us as listeners to take from them, because I quite enjoy them. But yeah,
I'm glad you like them. I think that kind of that came from I'm a really big fan of film soundtracks and a massive like film nerd, so it kind of came from I love in a lot of Quentin Tarantino soundtracks how he has bits of the dialogue kind of littered throughout. And I think it really, in our mixtapes that we made, we used a lot of film quotes and then got a lot of lawsuits for putting them in there. But I think the idea was, I just think there's something about dialogue and music that kind of, I don't know, I guess it, the music will make you listen to the moment of dialogue differently and vice versa with the song. And I think we sort of put them in there mainly so that the listener didn't have to hear my voice nonstop.
I was going
to
say, everyone needs a brief break.
For 40 minutes, it's a bit annoying. But I guess we have very specific thoughts as to why we chose those quotes and why they're there. But it was really just to kind of to throw the songs into a different light, create a bit more of a like cinematic atmosphere and stuff. I don't know, what did you think when you heard that?
Well, for me, one of my favorite quotes is the one from Winter of Our Youth, and it sets the whole tone for the song for me. And like when I listen to it, it gives me a direction of what you're trying to say off the bat, which I really enjoyed.
I'm really glad you thought that. That's awesome. No, and that was kind of the point, was to sort of set a bit of a tone, have another voice in the mix that wasn't just mine. And thanks so much for commenting on that. I'm so glad that you...
Julie, thanks for your call. That's great. And I hope you've got tickets for the show tomorrow night. Before we play you one of the songs that you might hear, let me just remind you of the ticketing details. So the concert is tomorrow night, Wednesday, the 4th of October at the Grand West Grand Arena. Doors open from 6 p.m. And I think there are just a handful of tickets left on web tickets available. So please get over there. If you want to show them some love, and a welcome on Facebook, etc., please, and on Twitter, use the hashtag BastilleSA. And lots of people very excited to have you back again, guys. We're going to play out with one of the new pieces, your version of Basket Case. And okay, I have my little nerd moment here. I'm going to show my age by saying that the original by Green Day was like one of my ultimate favorite songs. So very excited to hear about the cover. What made you choose that song?
Well, so we've done quite a lot of covers, and I think the point of our cover versions have always been to take a song that people wouldn't expect us to sing and throw it into a very new light. We were asked to do this cover for a TV show called The Tick, and they wanted us to do a Green Day cover. And you know, Will, who plays bass in our band, is like the biggest Green Day fan in the world, so it kind of felt slightly sacrilegious to take on these songs that we sort of remember. And I think the idea with this, so it's sort of from this soundtrack, but it's also going to be on our mixtape, and it was to just, if we're going to cover Green Day, to do something totally different and to take, you know, take this sort of quite like punky, grungy song and flip it on its head and not use any band instruments and only use orchestral stuff. So, you know, we kind of like, we did it. Luckily, we got the thumbs up from the band, which was satisfying, because we were obviously quite nervous. I think we've played shows with them, we played festivals with them, and I think covering anybody's song, particularly a band with such a, you know, a passionate fan base, we were like very nervous. But anyway, so that's sort of where this came from, and we're really happy with it, and we're happy that they like it, and it's, you know, it's meant to just be kind of fun and a bit ridiculous.
Well, I have kept my ears shut. I'm going to hear it for the first time, and I can't wait to hear what you've done with it. Guys, thanks so much for making time to come in and chat to us today. Talking about a passionate fan base, yours is ready and waiting
for
tomorrow night.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having us.
Great pleasure to have you in studio. Dan Smith, the front man, and Woody, Chris Wood, the drummer with Bastille. Catch them tomorrow night, and please go and book those tickets right now. There are only a couple left. If you haven't already got them, they're going fast at WebTick.